deal with the whole topic of fear and anxiety, it's interesting to see how the world recognizes that it's not a good thing either. And so those people that would make comment about it, I want to share with you. And so therefore, Albert Einstein said, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. Mark Twain said this, I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never happened. Maya Angelou said this, you may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. You can decide not to be reduced by them. Jody Pickholt said, anxiety is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you very far. John Kabat-Zinn, I guess, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf. I like that one. You can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf. And then Tony Robbins, of all people, said, let fear be a counselor, not a jailer. Let fear be a counselor, not a jailer. You know, it's just interesting, again, as you think of worldly people, again, I don't know how connected they are to God or not, and I won't make comment to that. Recognizing there's something to alleviate fear, alleviate anxiety, but when you think about the foundation that they're basing that on, it's all about human ability, human wisdom, human overcoming. And to know that us as believers, as we come to the scripture that says, do not be anxious about anything, we do that under the counsel of God, under the power of God, under the authority of God. Everything that God would bring to bear in the context of him saying, hey, be like this because that's who I am. And not because of who you are and what you're able to accomplish, but who I am and what I am able to accomplish. So we did actually start last week engaging with the text in terms of what we have here. So again, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present a request to God. And so again, moving on, again, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. You know, don't miss the but, don't miss the contrast. Don't recognize that there is this choice that needs to be made. Again, either you're going to be thanking God and recognizing God and praying to God in situations, or you're going to be anxious about things. You know, anxious is not something that is going to be foreign to any of us in terms of the tendency we have as things become overwhelming, as things become challenging, you're confronted by something that surprises you, or again, you can't overcome, you can't fix, you can't solve. Well, all of a sudden, that's the time where it's, okay, God, what are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish? Let me turn to you. Not that we shouldn't even be talking to him about the things that we're accomplishing. You know, again, in the context of life, we have a lot of responsibilities we take care of, right? Like, God would never say, hey, I'll take care of all, don't work. Don't make any effort. Don't be in the Word. Don't pray. Don't, you know, again, he wouldn't say, that's not what he's saying. But even when you're doing those things, don't put your ultimate trust and hope in that. Don't put trust in your health. Don't put trust in your finances. Don't put trust in your 401k. Even if you have them, your trust is in God. And so therefore, if something comes in that disrupts that, then all of a sudden the stock market crashes, or again, you learn you have a disease or a condition. Like, what happens now? Again, is it the, I'm going to be anxious, but I'm not going to be anxious about anything, but in everything, but God, but what God can provide in the context of that. And that is what God makes available to us. So again, the blessed buts of the scriptures, that happens a lot in the scriptures. I mean, ultimately, it does point to there's nothing you cannot bring to God. Nothing that's too small, nothing that's too big. In everything. Like, it's, again, the only one that can get away with saying anything and everything is God. The only one that can get away with all or always or never is God, in terms of him knowing the absolute truth of who he is. And again, the things that he would provide, again, welcome us to bring the everything of our life to him. I mean, if it concerns you, it concerns him in terms of the things that we would bring to him. Especially when you pray in line with what he shows that he cares about. You know, there is an aspect of that. Like, if you think to yourself, well, the everything is, let me pray to win the lottery. You know, for a lot of people, they would think, hey, if God could do anything to solve all my problems, Let me win the lottery. Let me find out I have this distant uncle that had oil fields in Texas, and now there's a check in the mail. We think that's kind of the answer, and it's not the answer. Rich people are anxious. Well, people are anxious. All different people in the world are anxious because they don't recognize that really the greater course of action and the greater course of order is to God. So again, when we are, the everything we're bringing to him in the, is the context of God's will. It's in the context of what he's doing and what he's accomplishing in the world. Now, God does care about your physical body. God cares, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, that shows that God cares about your physical being and the things that would be provided for you in that. But when you think about, hey, I want to see my friend believe in Jesus. I want to see my friend grow in the knowledge of God. I do want some to be healthy. I am praying in terms of what God would do in the context of our body. But make sure you're praying in the ways that God would encourage you to pray. In terms of like how we're bringing things to God, what we're bringing to God, why we're bringing to God. And so we just have to make sure that our motivation is in the right place. Because again, God is not going to promote us. Like he's going to promote you in the context of your relationship with him, but in terms of this is my will and this is what I want, or I'm going to tell you, God, what I want and what I need. Just realize that sometimes what God will do is reorient what that is. Not all the time. I'm not, again, you, when I say something, like you decide what conviction comes over you in the context of your relationship with God. I'm not, you know, again, so just realize that there's an aspect of this prayer that it's not about just anything. I mean, it is everything that you would be concerned about as a child of God and what he would do in the ways that he talks about Scripture addressing your need. And really, it does come down to this. Either we are thinking in terms that we are managing our lives or God is. Like, do you think in terms of your life that you're managing your life? Like, again, it's about accomplishing ends that you desire, that you want. Or is it about what God is accomplishing and what God is doing? Like when you bring yourself under God, the permission you have now to say, okay, God, you have to manage this. Like in other words, I've gone on the edge of my capacity and my faith to say, I'm going to do this for you, God. I'm going to go and serve lunches in the inner city of Providence. I'm going to get this done because I feel like you've led me to do that. Now all of a sudden something goes wrong with that or you can't accomplish that. Well, God, you brought me here. Like you told me to do this. You know, again, I'm raising a family. I have kids. Like I'm trying to be a godly wife. I'm trying to be a godly mother. I'm trying to be a godly husband. I'm trying to be a godly father. Like, help me. Help me be that. And so therefore, you're managing me, God. I'm not managing you. Like if we're praying to God like we're trying to manage him, yeah, that's, you know, not a dynamic that God's going to encourage, but for us to recognize that God always seeks to partner with us in the things that we are accomplishing consistent with his will. And so again, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Again, do we think in terms that we're managing our lives or God is? Now that's both in terms of what God would accomplish, but also the responsibility now God would take on himself. See, God loves for us to be dependent on him. Like, don't miss that from this passage. God loves when we're dependent on him. God loves when we're in a place where I can't do it. And again, maybe the wheels are falling off or things are going bad. God wants you to depend on him in terms of what he is offering in the context of whatever situation we find ourselves in. And so again, but in everything, God managing our lives, not us managing our lives. It's interesting that Paul says here, by prayer and petition. By prayer and petition. I just love, you know, when the Bible uses words it doesn't need to use. Like, it would be fine for him to just say, by prayer, or maybe just by petition. But it's both things here. I mean, prayer is just generally conversation with God. That's what it's pointing to. Like, whatever would be part of you talking to God, you listening to him, you think about the things that you would bring to God in terms of, hey, God, I'm going through this. Hey, do you see what happened? Hey, like, you know, like you talk to a friend, conversation. You know, that's what prayer is, you know, conversation with God. But now petition goes to the place, it's a request about a specific thing. So it's pointing about a prayer life that is regular. Like, this is not a formula. Let me just say this at this point, that this presents like it's a formula, right? Do not be anxious about everything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present yourself to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It seems like, okay, I input this, and then I get that. But it doesn't work that way in terms of I'm not engaging in relationship with God, that I have this conversational nature that, again, we're in this together, God. Like, you're trying to help me do this. I'm trying to get this done for you, that we're working together. So, God, please help me accomplish your will. And so, again, but the petition part is, again, is this request. God, I'm at the end of my rope. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how this is going to work. And God wants to hear that. I really like what a Bible scholar, a Greek guy, says about this passage. He is saying, in effect, that prayer is a conversation with, a plea directed to, a request made of, information given to a person who can hear, know, understand, care about, and respond to the concerns that otherwise would sink you into despair. And that's what it's like. But to know that God is able, to know that God is willing, to know that God cares, to know that God loves you, that again, he is good, and he's trying to foster goodness in your life. But it's not goodness necessarily of what we think is good, but what he thinks is good. Again, you have more faith, you have more character, you have more love, you have more kindness. Yeah, that's the page that God is on. Now, if you happen to have the blessings of Levite 2, great, but if you don't, like, that is more what God is concerned about. But again, giving his grace, giving his power, giving everything that he would make available to you to become that, and then when you are that, again, you are in a better place. And so do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Prayer is, oh, and by the way, I was asked a question about prayer this week, so I figured I would go through some of the rudimentary aspects of prayer just to make sure that we have some understanding about that. I mean, prayer basically is to the Father in the name of the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't believe that any member of the Trinity is like jealous of the other. So it's like if you pray to Jesus, you're doing something wrong. You pray to the Holy Spirit, there's something wrong. But you really don't find that in Scripture. What you find in Scripture is prayer directed to the Father. We approach the Father based in the Son. Like, the only reason why we can come to the Father is because we have this advocate, we have this mediator between us and God. And we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, in terms of the Spirit working through us and influencing our prayers, to know the Spirit actually prays for us and groans and utterances that we can't even understand in terms of what the Spirit does. So again, in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Acts is a good pattern. Like, some people come to me and say, well, God, you know, Pastor, how do I pray? What does it look like? And that what this Acts means is the A represents something, the C represents something, the T represents something, and the S represents something. And so the A is adoration. I don't think it's ever a bad idea to engage with God first by adoring him, by praising him, by worship. You know, what worship and praise can do, even to alleviate anxiety in terms of just recognizing how big, powerful, loving, kind, great, gracious, good God is. And saying words, thinking thoughts, that you affirm that and recognize that. If you believe that, you'll be amazed at how that translates now to, oh, well, now all of a sudden I have the peace of God because I've recognized God, who you are. The C is confession. Again, we should never think about us as a human being approaching God that there's not something we're confessing, we're agreeing with him. You know, I love, one of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 138 at the end. That's how I remember, I think. But again, it's God, search me and know my anxious thoughts. Search me and know, and show me if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in paths everlasting. Like, one of the great things about coming to God is I can unwrap my life. I can be completely vulnerable in terms of, God, here I am. Show me what's broken. Is there something that I am or doing that again, is broken, is disrupting your work in my life? Or again, if there's not, then okay. There's nothing for me to confess, which I know I never approach God without having something to confess in terms of just the things I say, the things I do, the things I think. And so again, it should not be, again, an unfamiliar thing for us as we engage with the God to adore him and certainly confess. T is Thanksgiving, the very thing that we'll look into in a little bit in terms of that being in the passage where, we're grateful, we're appreciative, we recognize the work of God, we recognize the things that he has done. And then that S is that supplication. That is the petition, that is the prayer, that is the asking, the things that I need for my life, the things that I would pray for other people. And so again, not a bad pattern in terms of how we think about praying. And naturally, the disciples' prayer, what is normally called the Lord's Prayer, but it's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. Jesus' prayer is John 17. The disciples' prayer and the disciples coming, Jesus, how do we pray? But what does Jesus do? Start with adoration. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your will be done in heaven as it is in earth. But then going into the points of, hey, praying for physical needs, praying for spiritual needs, praying for relationships, praying for your kingdom to come. All the things that are in that disciples' prayer. I love what one commentator says about that, is to think about everything that Jesus says is in prayer as almost like a hyperlink on the computer, that you kind of have the blue there and just click on it and it brings you to other places. Like the scriptures that it would point to in terms of the things we would pray in the context of what Jesus mentions there, like all the places that God cares about, again, our physical being and the things he would provide for us, the things that he would do in terms of dealing with sin, in terms of not being led in temptation, what he says about relationship and what he would seek to accomplish in the context of that, what happens in spiritual warfare and, save us from temptation and the work of the evil one. All the things that Jesus mentions in there, that certainly is a place for us to orient our prayers to. So again, thinking about prayer and petition and how we do that. And then we have with thanksgiving. What a beautiful and random aspect to include here. It is given as one of the conditions that are part of making the request. Again, beautiful and random. Now, what I mean by random is there are a lot of other things that Paul could put here, right? I mean, think about the thing. But actually, let me ask you, what would you think the primary thing that Paul would say as you think of coming to God, and what you would do in engaging as you pray to him? What would be the primary thing that would come from us? Well, yeah, yes, that. Okay, maybe it's not as simple. What does Jesus always say? What heals people? Faith. In other words, why wouldn't you say, don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with faith? But again, it could be with worship. It could be with the right attitude. It could be with, like, a lot of things he could put in here. But I think what is awesome about Thanksgiving is that Thanksgiving kind of wraps it all up. If you have not tried to be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but just in all circumstances, you're missing something. You're missing something about the thing that Thanksgiving does to your heart, that automatically kicks you into another gear. it automatically kicks you to another place. And I think that's why Paul has that here. Like, why out of nowhere, of all the things that Paul could have said, what do you bring with prayer? Thanksgiving. Because of what it encourages us to think in terms of. So again, it's more important than you know. And if you've never tried it, you're in a mess, you're stuck, you're in the hard place. Again, things are going wrong, you can't manage, you can't handle it. Be thankful. Just try to be thankful and just see how your heart changes. I think it orients us to faith. See, it orients us to believe, particularly when we're thanking God. It encourages us to think about, God, what have you already done? What have you already said? Like, there's an aspect of thanksgiving to God that, as fear and anxiety is about an unknown, thanksgiving is about a known, amen? And so therefore, it orients us to faith because, God, I'm still believing you for something. It's like, I'm still believing that when you did the thing 5 years ago and the check came out of nowhere, or you healed the person, or that person was saved, even though I did a lousy job presenting the gospel. And like, thank you, God, that you did this and this in terms of all the ways that he's worked. Or thank you, God, that you said this about me. Thank you that you said that you love me. Thank you that you said that you've forgiven me. Thank you that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so when you do that and you thank God for those things, you are automatically encouraging faith. You're automatically bringing you to a place where you go beyond just what is happening in the world, in your circumstances, and lifts you up to who God is and what God has said and what God has done. So again, it orients us to faith. It also orients us to what is good. Again, we pray, we thank God in everything, not for everything. But I bet if you are being thankful, you're being thankful about something that is good, even in a bad circumstance. And I do believe that God wants us to be positive people. I think God enables us to be positive people in terms of God is going to overcome this. God is going to, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I believe he's going to do that. And so again, it orients us to good. See, something that anxiety and fear does is it makes us very myopic. Like, it makes us think the only thing that matters is the thing. Like, the controlling influence is, oh my gosh, if I don't get this job, what's going to happen? And now all of a sudden, I'm watching a sunset, or I'm, you know, doing something else. I'm spending time with my girlfriend or whatever. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if I don't get that job, it's going to... And then it becomes invasive. And see, what Thanksgiving does is remind you that, okay, this thing is hard, this thing is bad, but it's not the only thing in life. And yes, it's hard to think about maybe even being thankful for that thing. You know, when Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, 2, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, and 18, to be thankful in everything, not for everything. Again, bold statement. But again, he's looking about the capacity of God to support that. But I think it is recognizing that, you know, there's always a place to get to the point to recognize there are more good things than bad things. There are always more good things than bad. Now, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. But I think I am that way because of who God is and all the things that he has promised, all the things that he has declared. You know, I've told this story a lot, but you know, people haven't heard it. When we sit around at the dinner table, I would ask them just to be engaged in their life, what good thing happened today and what bad thing happened today. And I told them, you can have as many good things as you want, but every bad thing has to be compensated by a good thing. So if you have 5 bad things, I want you to talk about 5 good things. Because I think that's what God is about. Yes, there are things that are hard. Yes, there are things, people are going to be jerks. People are going to mistreat. People are going to offend. People are going to do all that they're doing. But what good is God? What good has he done? Now, sometimes that would be we're having spaghetti and meatballs, and I'm grateful that we're having spaghetti and meatballs. I mean, we're talking about 8-year-olds and, you know, 5-year-olds that I'm bringing through this process. But just orienting them to the reality that there are more good things than bad things all the time. My heart is beating. I can see. I have relationships. I have people that care about me. Or God, you care about me, and God, you're above. Like there's no situation we could ever be in that we can't find the good that God is fostering. Again, God's goodness is running after you. And so if your circumstances are not bringing that, just find the place of thanksgiving. Like, God, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I am empowered to do things that other humans, I'm superhuman. Like beyond what other people can do, I can do it in terms of what is in me in terms of the Holy Spirit. You know, God lifting us up in that way. I think there is more good things about you in the spiritual realm than there are in the physical realm anyways. And again, it's more real and it's more substantive. But again, I think that's why Paul puts this element of thanksgiving in. It orients us to faith, it orients us to what is good, and I think that helps the heart. God is thinking about our hearts, and it also orients us to humility. Again, when you're thankful, how often are you thanking God for you? Again, not that it's inappropriate to say, thank you, God, for making me who I am and all the things you give to me. But usually when you're thanking, you're thinking about someone else, particularly when you're thanking God. Again, it's God, this is who you are. This is what you've done. This is what you've declared. Again, I'm showing that I'm dependent on you. Like, again, I'm not glorying in the good things. I'm not glorying in the circumstances. And I'm glorying in, hey, I did the thing and it worked out well and everything's fine. Nothing to be anxious about. It was all successful. You know, you're not dependent at that point. But when now God does something where you're thanking him for what he has done, now it's about, again, God, I needed you to do that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for saying what you've said. Again, thank you for doing what you've done. And again, it just automatically orients you to humility, thinking about, again, and again, it's not only thinking about others and not yourself or God and not yourself, but it's dependence. Like, it's the humility that says, God, I needed you to come through, and thank you for coming through. And so therefore, you're probably creating the situation to reinforce that dependence again. And so, again, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Present your requests to God and leave them there. I mean, isn't that the real challenge? You know, that ultimately when we present our requests to God, we take them back. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Okay, God, I ask you to do this thing. I ask you to work in this way. I ask you to fix this. I ask you to, whatever. And then in your anxiety, you take it back. In your worry, you take it back. That now all of a sudden, God, I'm giving it to your control and your authority and your management, and I'm going to manage it back. And so part of what is involved in this process is, again, if I'm presenting my request to God and the amazing thing that God has done has said, do that. Again, I want you to be dependent on me. It's a right and true thing that you need me. And there's nothing, like, God will never be overwhelmed. Like, God is not a situation like us where, oh my gosh, things that come in our life and it's this thing and it's this thing, and then, like, oh, I can't manage that. That never happens with God in terms of the things that he can manage. And so to know that the glorious God of the universe has provided for that. But again, leaving it there, let me just talk about that point a little bit. Like, once you cast your cares there, he is offering for you to leave it there. And so it's oftentimes us that takes, again, that we want, we don't trust, we don't believe in terms of who you are and what you said. And again, the more you know and trust him, the more impact presenting the request to him will make. Again, that's where it's not a formula. It's not, okay, I input this and then I get that. And this is not about like what you have done wrong. This is about what God makes available to you. But the thing that makes that work, the things that makes the power of God work, is the fact that I am believing him, the fact that I am following him, the fact that I am growing in him. I mean, the beautiful thing that turns the promise of God is those who draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And so to know that, but God does say, draw near to me. And if you don't draw near to me, well, then I'm not going to draw near to you, because then I would just be making you do something. And God is not going to make you do something. And so God welcomes us to know him. And it is in the context of that knowledge of all that God is that we would be refreshed, that we would be peaceful, that we would have confidence in him. Again, that the prayer and petition would matter. Because again, God, you are bigger, you are better, you are able, you are loving, you are kind. All these things that you are, God, I need it in spades. And God says, yep, I'll be that. But are you going to trust? Are you going to believe? I mean, what a tremendous offer from our sovereign, powerful, righteous, loving, gracious, kind, and gentle God. For him to say, again, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And that is, again, now there's a translated thing. Like now you do that, and you do that in the right heart, in the right way, and then this is what happens. But this is where it seems formulaic. It seems like, oh, okay, I do this and this comes. Because who doesn't want verse 7 in terms of all that God offers in presenting our quest to him? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, what an offer. What an offer. Again, if you do the first part, then you get the second part. But it's not rote. It's not, okay, I haven't thought about God. I don't care about God. I'm not following God. I don't care about his agenda. But I need you to fix this. Now, sometimes in God's grace, he will do it anyways. That God will just give you that peace because that's the gracious and kind God that he is. But if your heart isn't oriented to believing, knowing, trusting, again, God, you've said this about yourself. You have said this about me. I'm going to believe the things you've said about yourself. I'm going to believe the things you've said about me. And now, what? How is that going to translate to peace that I have? So just understand, there is an aspect of what we're doing in our hearts and what we're believing about God that does make this work. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I mean, notice this process of engaging with God in prayer has an assumed desired effect. Like, that's where God wants you. That's where God is leading. That's what God desires that you would have in terms of your life. Even for him to say it that way. Even for the word to point us in that direction. Okay, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then when the peace of God comes, see, that says something about God of that being the desired result, the offer that he gives in terms of what he would provide for us in that time. The offer, the juxtaposition from the anxiety we would otherwise have, is the peace of God. And so just realize that this peace of God is in opposition to the anxiety we would otherwise have. That again, something comes in, something makes you anxious. Okay, I have a choice. I'm going to be anxious in terms of what I see, what I can do, what I can't do, or I'm going to be in peace with who God is and what God can do. But that is what God is offering. Psalm 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." See, I think that a lot of what that peace is this stillness. Like to the extent that anxiety is about things not being settled, it's unknown, it's unmanageable, peace is the fact that it is settled. I like what Wayne Dyer said about this. Again, don't know whether he's a believer or not, but how much more powerful this is when God is on the other side of it. It says, "Peace is the result of retraining your mind to process life as it is rather than as you think it should be." Peace is the result of retraining your mind to process life as it is rather than as you think it should be. And oftentimes that anxiety is about it shouldn't be this way. Now, again, if God says it shouldn't be this way, great, pray for that. Pray for him to work. Show me, God, what I should do to improve that situation. But to whatever extent that we're desiring something that God doesn't desire, that, you know, again, we have to be mindful of that dynamic going on and what would keep us from peace. But again, it's about this stillness. It's about this settledness. It's about this calm that is in us that peace is all about. And it is the peace of God. It's not peace with God or peace from God, but the peace of God. Now, certainly other scripture would point to peace with God. You actually have peace with God. You actually have peace that comes from God. But that is not what Paul talks about here, is the peace of God. So in other words, it is the peace that God has himself. And so something you would say in the context of a thing that you're concerned about, you're worried about, well, not concerned, concern is okay, you're worried about, you're anxious about, God, are you worried? Like, are you fretting about the thing that I'm fretting about? And God would say, no, I have peace about that thing. You know, think about the storm, you know, that the disciples are going through. And again, in the middle, it just comes out of nowhere. Well, we didn't expect this. What are we going to do? And these fishermen, oh my gosh, Jesus, we're going to die. And what are you doing? You're sleeping in the back. Like, there would be a point in time in that context for them to say, hey, if Jesus is sleeping, maybe we should be sleeping too. Like, maybe we should still do and look at the oar and look at the sails and, you know, what are we doing to manage this the best we can? Yeah, that's all good. But to be fretting as you're doing that, to be afraid while you're doing that, to think that somehow, you know, God can't handle this? And that's a great picture of, again, where things can come from and how anxiety can come up. And now what are we going to do with that? Again, to be still. Again, if that anxiety about these things being not settled, not managed, peace is about they are settled. It is managed. But not because I'm managing it or it's working out well. It's because God is managing it. And so it is a peace of God. It's the peace that he has. Like, think about the things that God has to manage. Think about the things that God has control of, what he's responsible for. Think about the people, but the forces that are coming against God. Like, do you think that if anyone would be anxious, it would be God? Like, how am I going to fix all this stuff? Did you see what Putin just said? Did you see what this happened? Did you see Satan's demons going over here and going over there? No, I have peace because God knows that he's in control. Like, God is at peace because nothing is unmanaged for him. Nothing is outside of his purview and his ability. And that is the peace that God wants to give us. Again, when we engage with Him in the context of relationship, as we bring our cares to Him and recognize that He cares for us, we're thankful. We're thankful because we're engaging in the things that He has done and the ways He has worked. We've recognized His power before. Well, if the power was there before, well, now the power is going to be here now. If the provision was there before, the provision is going to be there now. And so again, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We will need to let it rain. Like we do, and we'll get to this 2 weeks from now. I'm on vacation next week, and so Spencer will be filling in. Thank you, Spencer, for the confidence I can have in Spencer for filling out. But, like, this is a gift. There is an aspect of this where God comes to us with all that we're dealing with, all that we're fretting about, and says, you know something? I just want to give you peace. Now, to the extent that you've done it right, you've crossed the T's, you've dotted the I's, don't make it formulaic. Make it relational in terms of all the things that I'm trusting for you for, all the things I'm talking to you about, and now God just gives this peace. That's the way it's presented. In terms of it coming from God, out of nowhere, not because we figure it out, not because we deserve it, not because we've done something to get it, it's just the promise of God. And just realize that's what God is offering. But how many of us can speak of having that peace of God, and maybe it rains for a moment, maybe it rains for half a day, but then all of a sudden, I lose it. I don't grasp hold of it. I don't let it control. I don't let it dictate. And so there is an aspect of this being a gift of God. And but for my knowledge of myself and other people, but maybe I'm just talking about myself here. I don't need to talk about anyone else. That sometimes that peace comes, and we don't hold on to it. We don't keep believing, we don't keep letting it rain, and that is something we need to do. Otherwise, again, this would be formulaic. Otherwise, it would be, hey, just do the thing and you get the thing, and it's more than that. And yet, there is an aspect of what this is saying about the power of God doing something for you because He's just that good. He's just that able. He just wants, like, God wants us to be at peace. He knows the human heart, the human stomach, that, you know, functions better in peace than it does in turmoil, than it does in anxiety. So God coming with this infusion of the peace that He has in Him controlling His universe and what He would do to provide for us as we seek to engage with Him in the context of our universes. But let's pray. Let's bow and let's pray this morning. And so, Father, we just do come before You in just the context of our lives, the reality of the different things that we're facing, and then just pray that this promise, this command, this direction that You would provide for us, that, Father, we would just continue to engage with You in the things that You would afford us, the things that You would teach us, the things that You would purify or provide, that Father, that we would truly believe the things that You've said about Yourself, the things You've said about us, that we would trust all that You are in terms of all the things that we would bring to You. And I just pray that more and more we would have the resulting peace that You promise here. And so we lift this all before You. In the name of Son Jesus, amen.